Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Nixon, and I'm here today with Sean Henry. This is our special series of Windows Phone 8 episodes, and I'm talking to the different teams. Today, I'm talking with specifically the App Foundation team. What's the App Foundation team? Well, let's find out. Sean, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Jerry. How's it going?
Sean, before we start talking about all the cool stuff inside App Foundation and the mysterious containing things there, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, so I'm a program manager at Microsoft on the App Foundation team, and I've been working on Windows Phone for a few years now, really since Windows Phone 7 first came out. So I'm really sort of passionate and been around for a while with sort of the new Windows Phone, and been working on the developer platform team for a while here as well. And so my team, the App Foundation team, really is the team that builds the real application model for apps that run on the phone, you know, how they run in the context of things like multitasking, as well as how they talk to other components on the phone and how they run and how they navigate.
The App Foundation team must be pretty big then. I mean, it's the entire app framework that developers are inside of whenever they're creating custom apps. That's the idea?
Yeah, that's it.
That's a pretty big topic. Let's narrow it down. What should we talk about today?
Well, I think today I'd really like to talk about how apps can be productive when they're not in the foreground, so sort of some of the multitasking things we do on Windows Phone.
Yeah, so I think a lot of developers know that when we did the transition from 7 to 8, one of the things that we got was a lot of cool new hardware that's really powerful and really capable of doing a lot of neat things. Background processing was in 7. Of course, it's in 8 now, and there are a lot of like functionality that developers may or may not know about. Cool. All right. So when you say background process, background tasks, things like that, what do you mean? What are the kind of the tranches?
Well, I mean, I think when you move to sort of these modern platforms like Windows Phone and Windows as well, and you see this everywhere, your application isn't always running. And, you know, we do this especially on mobile because we want to really, you know, conserve the user's battery. We don't want processes and tasks just sort of running in the background, slowly draining the user's battery, and halfway through the day, their phone's dead. So we have to be really deliberate about what we allow to run in the background on the phone. So that's how we sort of have multitasking is actually being, you know, an interesting topic on the phone. It's not just your application just running and doing whatever it needs to do. It's really in a very constrained environment. And that's what we do on the phone is, you know, figure out what's really important for applications to do in the background, and we try and balance that with, the user's battery life.
And so at a high level, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 both have a similar application life cycle, right? And I think if you look at, you know, competing platforms, especially mobile platforms, some, you'll have a new device, let's call it the universe, right, device, and you could have all kinds of apps running on that, and you don't even know what's in the background, and you're saying, you know, burns through your battery in half a day. That happens all the time, right? And I'll have people like, I love this phone except for the battery, and you pull up, you're like, well, look what all you've got going on, stuff that they installed a month ago, right, and they don't even think about anymore. So our lifecycle process is different, right? We say if you're running in the foreground, you can have all the processor you need to have an excellent user experience. But if you're not in the foreground, your application is completely suspended and you won't be consuming battery. You won't be consuming processor life with few exceptions, and I think that's what we'll talk about today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's certainly the default is that, you know, your app is in the foreground, it's running, and it can do whatever it needs to do. And then once it moves to the background, there's only, you know, certain cases where it can run. And, you know, we definitely have, a number of different mechanisms that we use to allow applications to run in the background. Certainly, even from Windows Phone 7, we had, the concept of periodic tasks, which are these little, you know, quantums of computing and network access your application could do. About every 30 minutes, it could run for about 25 seconds and can go, you know, fetch data from the network, from your web service. And can go up and can sync some data or update a tile. You know, it's a very common user scenario. And of course, in Windows Phone 8, we have this lock screen integration, so you can, you know, have your own lock screen image from an app if you've, you know, added that functionality. So you can go and do that as well, and, you know, generate your lock screen.
Let's start at the most generic. I'm a developer. I've written my custom application. Now I want to write a task. I open up Visual Studio. I've already got my solution. I've got my project that has my UI app. I'll add another project that has my background task. when it executes on the phone, it'll have the same security context to talk to my local folders and stuff like that. How many background tasks can a single app have? Do you know? Is there a limit, or is there just a best practice?
Yes. Well, so we can only have one of each type. So we have, you know, a number of different types. So I talked just there about the, you know, the periodic task. There's also some other types, like we have resource intensive and some specific ones also for audio, as well as VoIP was added in Windows Phone 8. So you really only have one of each type, which is actually, you know, okay when you think about it. You just sort of factor your code. If you want to do something different if you want to do some work, you know, every couple hours and then some work every half hour, you just sort of factor that into your code.
Right. We're developers. We solve problems all the time, right? And this is an easy one to solve. Let's go through them for a second. So why would a developer choose a periodic task? Give us a high level of what it does.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's really if you want to grab a little bit of data from your web service, it's really the most common scenario, and then either, you know, sync that to your isolated storage so that, you know, that data is ready the next time you open up your application. Or you know, probably the most common is to update one of your live tiles. So, you know, if you have a live tile on the start screen, you can push data directly to that tile, but sometimes you actually want to generate that tile, you know, locally. If you're a weather application, you probably want to put, you know, the local weather and some local information on the tile. So that's, you know, very common to see that kind of thing.
Let's talk about that just a little bit more. So I can only have one of these periodic tasks. Do I pick the period that it runs in?
No, we really schedule them all every 30 minutes. And if you don't want to do work every 30 minutes, as soon as your task is launched, you'll just exit it. And you know, we're waking the phone up about every 30 minutes anyways. So really, you know, there's not a huge impact on the battery in terms of, you know, waking up a task that's not being used. So we said, well, we might as well just make it simple. And have them wake up every 30 minutes. If you don't need to do work, don't do work and just exit your task right away.
Now, we on the Windows 8 side, I know developers have a constraint around CPU time for their background tasks. Is there some sort of constraint for background tasks on the phone?
Yeah, so we don't constrain CPU time. We just use wall clock time. So you have about 25 seconds. And again, you know, most of these numbers kind of fuzz a little bit. It'll depend a little bit on the device you're on, what else is going on in the system at a time. So it's not always 100% deterministic what you'll get. And again, we're really doing that to balance. We're trying to minimize, really in this case, the amount of time the radio has to go up to connect to the cell tower, because that's what really, you know, draws the most power.
That's the expense.
Background. Yeah.
So if my background task does it have a memory constraint? You know, if I'm running it and I start gobbling up all this memory, maybe I'm making a live tile from something that's really significant.
Yeah, it definitely does, and this is probably, you know, one of the biggest challenges a developer would have as a developer, you know, trying to implement these periodic tasks. We actually we constrain them pretty tightly how much memory they can use, and again, you know, we do this really so that we can run multiple at the same time then when they're in the background, mm-hmm. so that we can run them in parallel and we can again keep the phone up for less amount of time. And then also, if you happen to be using the phone, we don't want, you know, your Angry Birds game or whatever to slow down because there's a bunch of tasks running. So we do constrain, you know, the amount of memory they're using. Periodic tasks get, and it depends a little bit on how much memory your phone has. Sort of some of the higher end phones will give a little bit more, but they'll have at least 11 megabytes. And some of that's 11 megabytes, including the framework in the background, the CLR, which takes up about 5 or 6. So you really only have about 6 megabytes to work in.
Sean, if you're a developer and you think, you know, I'm doing some serious stuff here, I could actually potentially hit that ceiling, what's the best way to profile your app to make sure that your background task isn't growing so much that you can do some testing?
Yeah, so we provide an API in the framework that will tell you how much free memory you have available. So I've seen some great samples, actually. I think there's a really great one on MSDN that shows you how to sort of monitor that continuously, and you can check to see how close you are to getting to that cap. And I think it's really important to do. Actually, one of the things that when you're debugging your periodic task, we actually don't enforce that cap. So you have to be careful that, you know, during development, you may think everything is great and is working well, and then as soon as you deploy it to a device, you know,
nothing works suddenly.
Nothing works because you're running out of you get all these out of memory exceptions.
Yeah, and so that's because the debugger is attached. So I could run it, obviously, even inside the emulator without it being attached and kind of try a little bit of that as well. Plus, when the debugger is attached, the memory footprint really isn't honest, right? There, you get a lot of like fluff there from things that are going on because of the debugger.
Yeah, and that's why we don't enforce it, because it's not really realistic. You'd actually have even less memory if the debugger was attached, and it wouldn't be useful.
In Windows Phone 7, I hate to look back like that, but you know, Windows Phone 7, I would add these background tasks. And if I think the number was sometimes 10, and I know it kind of varied just a little bit, but I could only add so many. So if I was the 11th app and my background task wanted to be added to the queue, it would just get dropped off. What happens in Windows Phone 8?
Yeah, we still have that limit. We've increased it. It's at least 18 now on most devices. And again, if you have more memory on your device, higher end devices will enable more. But there is that sort of hard limit on the system. Again, you know, that's really just to make sure that we can get them all executing in that little window, in that 30-minute window, every 30 minutes, and try and keep the device, you know, quiet as much as we can.
I just want to make sure that everybody realizes you're saying every 30 minutes, but I mean, if we were to say it more accurately, it would be every 30 minutes ish, right?
Right.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
We definitely fuzz that to sort of make sure it aligns with when the phone is going to be up anyways. So if you're app number 19 and you try and schedule that task, you'll get an exception. And at that point, you know, you can tell the user that, that you know, they have too many background tasks. We actually have some system dialogues as well. Again, depending on the phone, at some point, you know, around maybe 8 or 10 background tasks being registered, we'll tell the user, hey, you have a lot of these. Do you want to, you know, make sure these are actually what you want and how to prioritize them?
That's from the consumer side. That's just being nice to the user and kind of helping them kind of manage.
And there's a background task control panel the user can go to and sort of disable apps explicitly. So you do also have to watch out, you know, if you're a developer, the user may have disabled your background task.
Developer's kind of defensive point of view, they go to schedule their background task when their app is run, say, the first time. And they get an exception. That means it wouldn't be done probably because there's too many. So they can try again later, give the user some sort of notification. They come into their app, and while the app wasn't running before, they disabled their background task. How does the developer detect that?
They'll get an exception as well when they try and query for the task when they schedule the pattern typically that you know most developers should do at the start of their application is check if your background task is registered, so you can query the scheduled task service and see if your background task is there. If it isn't, then you'll want to register it. And when you try and it'll say it's not there, and when you try and register it, it'll fail because it's disabled.
Got it. So it'll feel like it hasn't been installed is what that error will look like. Okay. All right. So the most common background task developers can choose from is going to be the periodic background task. It's every 30 minutes. That's the period. And then if you don't want to do it every 30 minutes or you want longer, then you can just exit out of it whenever it runs. No doubt that's the 90 percentile right there that everybody wants. You can update your tile or do whatever it is your app needs. Okay. We were talking about other options. What are some other background tasks that we have?
Yeah, so I mean, the other common one that we also had in Windows Phone 7 is the resource-intensive task, and it's actually a sibling to the periodic task. It runs, you know, in exactly the same almost exactly the same constraints in terms of memory and so on. But it will run when your phone is plugged in and is charging and is on Wi-Fi, and it's really if you want to sync a lot of data. So like I know I have a podcast application that I like that will when I plug it in at night, my phone starts charging, it'll sync all my podcasts for me.
Not meant just for transfers, right? I mean, you could do whatever it takes a long time, and if you put it in this, it gives you a little bit of that 25-second rule is probably what's flexible.
That's right. That's what's lifted, yeah.
I see. Is it lifted unlimited, or is it just lifted to one that's particularly unlimited?
It's pretty long. It's I don't know the exact number, but it's a number of minutes at least.
I see.
I think it's – yeah, I'd have to check on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it compared to 25 seconds, that's pretty significant that you could handle it all. And then you're going to have the same defensive logic in there that any other app's going to have to save and still don't get done. Because who knows, the user could turn the app off in the middle and you still want to be able to or not turn the app off, but turn the phone off in the middle of your background task execution. You want to be able to handle that as well. All right, so we've got those. Now we're probably to the 99th percentile, right? So we have background tasks that are periodic. We have background tasks that are still periodic. They just have a longer amount of time, and they also have a few new constraints that you have to be on Wi-Fi and you have to be plugged in, one of those two. And what are some other ones?
Well, I think, you know, the other one that's not really a task but is also allowing applications to run in the background that we added in Windows Phone 8 is background location tracking. And this is something that's really useful for if you're building like a turn-by-turn navigation, like Nokia Drive is very popular, as well as a lot of these sort of fitness applications that track you while you go out for a run or a bike ride, so you can sort of map the route that you've taken when you've gone for your run.
So we had an episode with the location team, a lot like talking to you, right? And they were talking about this background location process task thingy, capability, I guess, you know, like it's candy. I mean, they were so excited about it and, you know, all this capability of being able to put it in the background and still be running even though it's not in the foreground. That's a pretty neat added capability that in 7 was a little frustrating, right? I mean, if you had a jogging app or something, it would stop.
In 7, you had to keep the application, you know, in the foreground. So, you know, you could turn your phone off. You could put in the application would keep running under the lock, but if it was the top application. But you couldn't do something like, let's say you got an SMS or you wanted to go into Pandora and change your music track. And as soon as you change your station, as soon as you went into Pandora, your application would stop tracking your location. So with background location tracking, it'll keep running in the background, and it can keep sending you notifications. You can turn left, turn right here, or it can tell you your pace if it's around.
And it's the system working for you, right? You let the operating system handle it. So as far as performance and battery and all this, it's all doing that pro user, and you don't have to think about it. It's handling it for you. Pretty nice.
So we throttle it way down with the background location. I think you only get about 10% of CPU in the background. Again, that's, you know, to make sure that if you go off and do Angry Birds or something like that, it doesn't really affect the foreground experience. But it's something you have to keep in mind as a developer.
I play Angry Birds a lot while I'm jogging. So that's
you know, you never know.
All right, now we're in the 99.9 percentile, right? Yeah. So we have periodic tasks, that's most of them. Then we also have this long-running resource-intensive task. We also have this idea of location tasks, which really enable a lot of new types of apps. And we also have VoIP, I guess, is one. What would the VoIP background task do?
Yeah, so I mean, VoIP is we had audio these audio agents in Windows Phone 7, again, for apps kind of like Pandora, that wanted to run audio continuously. And almost an extension of that, if you think about it, are VoIP applications where you know, you're using Skype or something like that, and you want your call, you know, I'm talking to you on Skype and I navigate away, I go, I want to check the web because, you know, you're not as interesting or something, as not as engaging, and I want to go check the latest website, and now I want my call to continue so I can keep talking to you, just like, you know, a regular voice call does.
And that this makes is really sense. Let me make sure I understand. So we're talking about two tasks now, really, or two capabilities now. The first one is, like Pandora or some sort of music app, your app doesn't have to be running for the music to keep playing, which is pretty cool. I guess I can how does that work first? I pass it a playlist, and it that way the user can forward and back, or does my app remain somehow in the background?
Yeah, so actually both. We have sort of two options for audio. If your app is just playing MP3s or some format that our native audio engine understands, then you just basically pass it a playlist. And we'll handle the forward and back and play and pause for you. And your application isn't running in the background in that case. And that's great because the phone can go into a really low power state. And again, we can do a really good job with the user's battery. If your audio application is using a different format that, you know, potentially our engine doesn't understand, or if it's doing streaming, so it's like a live stream, so like a internet radio or something like that, where you don't have the data ahead of time, then we do allow your application to continue to run in the background. It'll hook into media stream source, which is actually a really neat component in Silverlight that allows you to sort of feed each of the sort of pack each of the frames of media directly into our media pipeline. So you can do the decoding yourself, and then you feed the decoded frames into our media pipeline.
Oh my gosh, I think a wave of warm fuzzies just hit all of our developers when you use the word Silverlight.
Yeah,
I get it. I totally get it. All right, so I have this background music capability that allows me to keep playing even though my app isn't there. That makes total sense. I'd want that to keep going even though I'm playing Angry Birds or whatever. And of course, now I see the connection, what you were saying, with VoIP. VoIP, I would want my phone call, which is still just audio, right, to keep going as well in the background, right, even if I was playing Angry Birds.
And you're doing the same thing as, you know, you're decoding this audio stream in the background. You're feeding the frames into our audio pipeline. You want to keep that running. And then you're doing the opposite from the microphone because it's a two-way conversation. You're encoding that and sending that out over the network.
Let me ask you a scenario. If I have background location working because let's say I'm jogging, then I get a VoIP call, and that's in the foreground, and then I go to Angry Birds. Do I have two apps in the background still running?
Yeah, the user may actually think they have three apps in the background running, but we actually allow a lot of these things to mix together. We really thought carefully. So, like, background location, well, you only have one background location at a time, and that's really, again, because of memory restrictions. But VoIP will actually work with background location. So you can be in a Skype call, you know, while you're tracking your run, and certainly that will work. And our goal there really was to make VoIP, you know, feel like a regular cell call. So we allow it to run. The one thing, you know, we don't allow to run at the same time, and we did this, again, just to sort of conserve memory, is we don't allow these audio agents and these VoIP agents to run at the same time.
They'd conflict with each other. I mean, you can't listen to two things
at once. Think about, you know, the user would probably never want to listen to Pandora and be on a Skype call at the same time.
Don't I have a soundtrack to your life, Sean?
Yeah. So what we do, you know, if you're an audio application, a VoIP call comes in, then we'll suspend your audio process while that VoIP call is going on.
Okay. So when we talk about the concept of multitasking inside phone, are we talking about background tasks specifically, the ability to run these background tasks even though you have some foreground task active?
I guess we use multitasking as a, you know, fairly general term, but, you know, all these things I've talked about really, I think, fall under the multitasking bucket. And it's to me, it's really just things you're not doing in the foreground. And sometimes they'll happen at the same time and sometimes they won't. So, you know, for example, the audio and the VoIP cases, you could actually be in the Pandora application, but your audio process is this separate sort of background process that's actually running, you know, while you're in the foreground. So you really have, as a developer, you have two processes you need to think about potentially running at the same time. And that sort of leads into some, you know, interesting things around, you know, how to communicate between those two processes.
Yeah, they aren't in the same memory context. We said they were in the same security context, but not. Right. I mean, I can't read a static variable in both, right?
That's right. Yeah. So that, you know, they share the same isolated storage, and that's actually one of the things we recommended in Windows Phone 7. If you wanted to talk between those two processes, is you can use a shared file or a shared database and isolated storage to talk between the two. It's not, you know, super fast, but it's good enough for, you know, a lot of the scenarios you need to do in that case. Yeah. In Windows Phone 8, we have, you know, a couple other mechanisms. You can use named events, which will now work between these two processes. So you can sort of just signal, if you just need to signal a little bit of an event between these two processes, that will work as well. And that's actually, that hits, again, almost all your scenarios. For some of the VoIP scenarios...
You are so green. I mean, seriously, your light's
My light's switching here. For some of the VoIP scenarios, you actually have, you know, sort of more rich data going between the foreground and the background. Like maybe you're pulling your contacts in actually in the background process and you want to show those in the foreground. And actually, you know, a lot of VoIP apps, I don't know, you know, how familiar you are with like the MVVM model of building applications. And you can actually think VoIP and audio as well as like your model and almost your, you know, your view model are in the background and the foreground is really just presenting that data. So it's kind of like the view. And so you actually have a fair, you know, you have some rich data going between those two. In order to do that for VoIP, we have WinRT remoting, which is a fairly advanced topic and it's fairly complicated, but we have some really good samples on MSDN that show how to do that, which really allows you to activate these objects and talk to them in the background, just like they're regular objects.
Awesome. And so that's probably order of use, right? Is probably most developers will use writing to something inside their local isolated storage first, because it is the lowest tech, easiest to write, and there it is, and you probably don't need it to be quite as live. And then as you start to kind of ramp up that need for more immediate communication, you can use these named events. And then as you go ramp up again, then you can start looking at remoting. But you probably start in that order, don't you think?
Yeah, that's exactly how I would do it. Yeah, don't hurt yourself. Don't try and run if you think you can just crawl and get it to work.
Right. Because after all, this is all about getting apps in the store.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not about working on the same app for 6 years until you get it working. let me ask you a little more about the background task. I assume the answer to these. So I'm driving through a tunnel, and let's do it another way. I shut the phone off because I'm on an airplane. My 30-second-ish time frame passes, and I turn it back on. They don't queue up and make up for the time lost. Is that right, or do they just wait another 30 minutes? How does that work?
It'll depend a little bit on exactly what's going on. I think you're kind of talking about airplane mode, if you put your phone in airplane mode or turn it off.
Oh, yeah, power off. I assume airplane mode doesn't turn off background tasks.
It does, because we're not accessing the network, so it potentially can turn off background tasks.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So you'll actually see this, you know, if you have a background task that doesn't use the network, you can actually have a longer wait than those 30 minutes. Once you turn the phone back on, again, it'll depend on when we need to access sort of the network next. So if we're not accessing, it may go up to 30 minutes. It just kind of depends. And I think this is, something as a developer you kind of need to think about is you don't really know when these are going to run. And so you have to sort of design your code to assume.
And to that effect, you don't even know if they're going to run.
That's right.
Because the user in between that time could have gone in and shut down your background task. So this is, we often talk about this as like extra capabilities that you don't actually need, right? It adds a lot of value to your app to have this background process. But if it becomes critical, then you could be in a world of hurt really fast, because it may not even be there for you.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're talking about, periodic. Obviously, VoIP and audio will run. I mean, you don't want your VoIP call to drop.
But
in the case of periodic, they are, we call them opportunistic. So there are cases where they don't run. They do make, a huge difference to the experience for the user if you do use them, but it is something that you can't rely 100% on being there.
All right, so here's a fun scenario. I've got music playing, and I get a VoIP call. And so I, let's say a toast shows up. I say go. It opens up. And, no, it looks like a call, doesn't it? It really does. Yep. And so I say yes to the VoIP call. It automatically will pause because of the conflict. Automatically will, I assume, pause the sound, the background music that's playing.
Yeah, it'll actually kill the process, so the music will stop. And we need that memory. So
kill the process. Doesn't pause it. It kills the process.
So it's a stop. It's a full stop. We'll send a message to the background agent, but it's a full stop.
Got it. Yes, full stop, like the background agent receives the message and then is terminated?
Yeah.
That's so they have ability to save state or whatever it is. So when I hang up a VoIP call, my music doesn't restart automatically.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That's a little bit than a voice call, right? And because a voice call will
That's
do that
right.
probably because it's so native to it, right?
Well, so what we do, with a voice call, we really just pause the music. The agent is still running. And so what's going on kind of under the covers is we're actually using the same sort of resource set between VoIP and audio, which allows us to get both these things to run really well on sort of lower-end hardware that don't have so much memory. We can sort of guarantee that they'll have this memory, but the side effect of us guaranteeing that they'll have memory available is that they're kind of mutually exclusive.
Got it. Okay, so I'm listening to music, and I get a VoIP call. The VoIP call will send the suspended event, I assume that's standard event, right? It closes down. Now I'm talking to you on a VoIP call, and I get a real call, a real phone call. What happens then?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the really neat things with our VoIP integration is that it works really well with cell calls. So if you're in the middle, this VoIP agent can register with what we call the VoIP call coordinator, which is really just a front end for our call service on the phone, which really manages, it's the same service that manages if you have two cell calls, then it'll put one on hold and allow you to activate the other. It's the exact same service. Yeah. And then basically just treats VoIP as another line. So it'll actually put the VoIP agent on hold, and nice. And you'll get a message saying, you know, to go on hold, and then you can take the cell call.
That's awesome. Kind of related to what it really feels like a second call.
Yeah, and one sort of caveat for developers, kind of related to the audio thing, is if you happen to get a second VoIP call, so let's say you're on Skype and then you get like a link call that comes in, we'll actually have to kill that first VoIP call. So you can't have two VoIP calls on hold or two VoIP calls running at the same time. And that's really
can
just
the,
a memory.
Can the first or can the user ignore the second call and keep the first VoIP call running?
Yeah, they can. I mean, you'll get the same... that same incoming call sort of dialogue that you get for cell and VoIP, and you can choose to ignore, and your call will keep going.
Got it. So one VoIP call at a time.
Yeah.
It feels just like a regular phone because it's or phone call because it's using the same interface. And then can you bridge a VoIP call and a phone call? Like, can I have a conference across the two?
No, we generally – we don't really allow this, and that's part of sort of app isolation, is that we don't allow audio to be shared between applications. And
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes total sense. All right, so one of the caveats that I think where you were headed was developers, they'll have to think about their memory usage, right? That's the first thing. And you can kind of use those APIs that allow you to ask how much you have left and keep going and trace those out somehow. Then we have this idea of writing defensively, so make sure that your app can install these background tasks, can run or haven't been terminated since the last time the app was run. And then we go to this other idea of where we have this life cycle that we need to remember that one app, you know, one, if you're using the background, if you're using background music or background music, that's what it is, background sound, background music.
Background audio, yep.
Background audio, thanks. I lost the word there.
Doesn't have to be music. There's maybe you like talk or
VoIP.
Something like that.
Yeah, it could be an audiobook or something like that, right? Or, I don't know, what else could it be? Bird calls. It could be bird calls. Live bird calls. perfect. And then from a tips and tricks kind of idea around it, we know that an app can only have one periodic task. Can I write an app that has all of these other tasks? Can I effectively have four or five types of tasks inside a single app?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, the two that overlap are periodic tasks and resource-intensive tasks. They're actually the same thing under the covers. So really, you'll get this on-invoke method in those cases, and you'll have to figure out why you were invoked, either from a periodic task or a resource-intensive task. And you know, you can do that by just, you know, inspecting the object you get. But those are actually, you know, the same. Under the covers, they're actually the same thing. But yeah, you can certainly have an application that has all of these things if you want to build some, you know, giant beast of an application that really does everything. Absolutely.
What we didn't talk about so far, and we talked to the team that handles this, and that's the transfer service. That is also in the background. I mean, there really are a lot of multitasking options for an application where I can up this one that I'm mentioning is you can upload and download in the background even when your app isn't running also. Just queue up the requests.
Yeah, and that's another sort of great thing to do if your upload is, you know, fairly straightforward and doesn't require any intervention from your app. Background transfer service is a great way to get it queued, and it'll use our background transfer service will use sort of some smarts to sort of figure out the right time and when to download stuff.
Now, this is a tricky question, but I'm sure it'll be fun for you. When you see apps in the store that are using the background tasks, I mean, you can see them on your phone, and I'm sure it's very nice to you too, right? It's a little warm, fuzzy to see your background APIs being used. What's the worst thing that could be done? I mean, what do you not want to see when you start seeing people use your APIs? When you see it, it's in the back of your mind, you're like, that is not what we had in mind. Maybe it's creative, but it's an anti-pattern.
I'm pretty happy, you know, when anyone uses these. We design them in such a way that it's, you know, very difficult to really make the phone have a poor experience for the user with a lot of these. The one that I've seen a couple apps do that I'm not happy with is they don't make it necessarily obvious for background location that they're still running.
Oh.
And so you know, I've had cases where I thought I was done with something with background location, like I've been out for a run or done turn by turn, and then like a couple hours later, all of a sudden I get this weird like turn left here, or you know, you're running slow or something like that. And you know, that's just sort of me personally. I would prefer an app to sort of tell me a little bit more, you know, when it's actually running in the background as kind of a courtesy to the user.
What's the user's best tactic there? I have, let's say, a turn by turn. I've had that same thing, and then I'm in a meeting, and it tells me to turn.
Yeah, like, turn left.
And it's always loud, right? It's never never quiet.
I mean, from a developer's perspective, I think that's something you really need to think about is this user experience if they unintentionally leave it running. But from a user's perspective, you can always exit an app that's running by just hitting back. And if you keep hitting back out of an application, it'll actually exit the application. It won't be continuing to run.
So I've got my driving directions app open. I hit back, takes me to the start screen. It's closed. It's not moved to the background using the location service.
That's right.
It's only in the background using the location service. I assume this is also true, by the way, with the audio background, is when I navigate forward to another app by hitting the start button or getting a phone call or responding to a toast.
That's right, although it's not actually true for audio. And the difference with audio and VoIP as well, actually, is that, you know, you'll see something in the UI. So in the case of audio, there's those play, pause controls at the top. So you know that audio is going on. You know that your Pandora app is playing. And if you tap on those, you can get into the app and launch them. And the same thing is true with VoIP. You'll see it looks like a toast that stays up forever. It's the same UI we use.
Like a phone call.
For a phone call, and if you tap on that, you'll get back into your VoIP app, Skype, or whatever, and you can end the call from there. But in the case of background location tracking, we don't have any. Well, the only UI you'll see is you'll see the little dot in the system tray that tells you location is being tracked.
Yeah, the little circle with a circle on the inside.
Which is not always obvious to everyone that that's what's going on.
And you got to know what the circle means too, right?
Means,
yeah. Perfect. All right. Question that has nothing to do with background tasks. You carry a Windows phone.
I do. Well, at least one.
No doubt. What's right now, just today, let's say, what's your favorite app these days?
My favorite app?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a huge, huge Audible fan. I love listening to audiobooks in the background. And I don't know if I could survive without being able to listen to my audiobooks.
Nothing shortens a commute or a nice long flight than a good book, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. All right, perfect, Sean. Thanks for talking to us about background tasks, the different approaches that developers have at their disposal, kind of in their toolkit, some caveats that they can avoid, and kind of the inner workings of it, too. Sean, thanks for being on the show.
Great, thanks. Good to be here.